Good afternoon, everyone. I'd like to call the Senate Community and Regional Affairs Committee to order. Today is Tuesday, February 22nd, President's Day, 2022. Let the record reflect the time is 3:30 p.m. And today, welcome. We have present with us Vice Chair Myers, Senator Gray Jackson, and Senator Wilson. A reminder, please silence your cell phones. And a big thanks to Juliana Singh with Senate Records, and Leo Steedle with the LIO, and Daniel Phelps, our very own Community Regional Affairs Committee. Two items today. First, we'll hear SB 181, Identification of Contractor in Ads, sponsored by this committee for the second time, and consider a committee substitute for the bill. And following that, we will hear SB 172, Property Tax Exemption, sponsored by Senator Willikowski. That will be a second hearing for that bill, and we will be taking public testimony. Are there any questions from committee members before we proceed? Seeing none, let's begin with SB 181, Identification of Contractor and Ads. Vice Chair Myers, do you have a motion?
Yes, Madam Chair. I move that the committee adopt committee substitute for Senate Bill 181, Work Order 32-LS1404/G as the working document.
Thank you. And I will object for purpose of discussion and double check to make sure members have a copy of the draft. And we'll take a brief ED. Do you need a copy? And provide us a walk through the explanation of changes from the previous version to version G.
For the record, this is Daniel Phelps, staff to Chair Hughes. Following the last hearing of SB 181, Vice Chair Myers contacted our office with a question, which I would now like to answer on the record. Vice Chair Myers asked what sort of contractors would be affected by SB 181. To answer that question, I'd like to note to the committee that Alaska Statute Title 8, Chapter 18 specifically addresses construction contractors and home inspectors. The definition of contractors provided in the statute is a person who, in the pursuit of an independent business, undertakes or offers to perform, or claims to have the capacity to perform, or submits a bid for a project to construct, alter, repair, move, or demolish a building, highway, road, railroad, or any type of fixed structure. This includes excavation and site development and scaffolding. And a contractor includes a general contractor, builder, mechanical contractor, specialty contractor, or subcontractor. For example, Vice Chair Myers, members of the Alaska General Contractors Association or the Alaska Builders Association would be the types of contractors affected by this legislation.
Okay, well, thank you for that. That wasn't actually what I asked you to do, but it was good information. Because it does answer a question that might be because we have contractors in other fields, and this is definitely related to contractors in the building industry. But what I'd like you to do is walk us through the changes from version B
to
version G, please.
So, after the initial hearing of the bill, our office was contacted by Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development, and they raised a concern that also in Title 8, Chapter 18, there is a section which requires home inspectors to provide the same identification requirements as it does to contractors. So the work order amends the bill. Section 1 moves the definition of, Section 1 moves the definition of landing page to Section 3, and otherwise Section 1 is the same as Section 1 in the original bill. Section 2 amends SB 181 by adding an option for home inspectors to include a website containing their identifying information in advertisements. The substitution language here is identical to Section 1, except directed at home inspectors instead of contractors. And Section 3 is the definition of landing page, which was moved from Section 1.
Are there any questions for members? And I'll point out we do have Glenn Hoskinson, Special Assistant to the Commissioner, Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development on the phone if anyone has any questions. And I'm not seeing any. Thank you, Daniel. And at this time, seeing no further questions, Vice Chair Myers, what is the will of the committee?
Eddie's.
Back on the record, and I'm going to remove my objection at this time, and seeing no further objections and no questions from committee members, Vice Chair Meyer, what is the will of the committee?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move Senate Bill 181, Work Order Number 32-LS1404/G from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Anna Addies. Back on the record, seeing no objection, Senate Bill 181 moves from committee. We'll take a brief at ease while we sign the paperwork. Agenda, Senate Bill 172, Property Tax Exemption, sponsored by Senator Wilikowski. We have Nick Moe at the table. And before we get started, are there any questions right out of the gate from members? There are none. So what we're going to do at this time is open public testimony for SB 172 property tax exemption. And is there anyone in the room who would like to testify? I'm sorry, Nick, you may remove yourself from the table. I was ahead of myself, and we'll go ahead. Mr. Andreessen, you're welcome to come to the table to testify.
Is it masked off now? Or?
You may take your mask off. It's actually my preference because I like to be able to read lips a little bit. I'm a bit hard of hearing, so thank you.
Thank you, Chair. For the record, Nils Andreessen, I'm the Executive Director of the Alaska Municipal League. Thanks for the opportunity to present some testimony, neither in opposition or in support of this bill. We appreciate the bill sponsor concern for property tax relief for Alaskans, and there's not consensus among those who currently utilize this exemption around support or opposition. But I do want to point out a number of other considerations for this committee. First, while valuation has increased in many communities over the last couple of years, that doesn't necessarily mean it's translated yet into increased property taxes. And where there has been property tax increases over the last 2 years, that was due to the state's inability to fund school bond debt reimbursement once due to veto and once due to CBR reverse sweep vote. So the answer to those increases aren't optional exemptions, but fully funding that obligation, which will continue in the years to come. Overall, right-sizing property valuation is a good thing to ensure more accurate tax policy. It can also translate into adjusted or even decreased property tax rates. Just because values go up doesn't mean budgets do. At the same time, optional exemptions may provide some relief for some taxpayers, but they do shift higher costs to other taxpayers. Both mandatory and optional exemptions result in increased tax rates, reducing the burden for beneficiaries while increasing the rates overall for everyone else, and especially for those not benefiting from the exemption. We would offer a few alternatives that may set in place a more strategic approach to this issue. First, to increase the likelihood that property tax rates stay stable, the state should appropriately and fully fund its debt reimbursement obligations, both for school bond debt and harbor debt reimbursement, both of which are critical to ensuring stabilized property tax rates. Second, fully fund the state's statutory obligation to reimburse local governments for the state's mandatory exemptions, including and especially the senior citizen and disabled veterans exemptions, the value for which this year was $95 million. Those costs simply shift to other taxpayers when the state fails to reimburse local governments for those exemptions. Third, to ensure that property valuation is accurate, the state should pass legislation to require mandatory sales price disclosure. This information can remain anonymous, but it serves to provide true and accurate reflection of the value of property in Alaska. Offering an exemption on the value of a property that may not be correct makes little sense to me. Finally, there are other mechanisms that this committee could explore, including to split out residential and commercial tax rates or to review the structure of exemptions overall. It might be worth asking the question why the state has such a role in micromanaging local exemptions instead of encouraging local control over exemptions that make sense for each community. I would just close with one point. While mandatory exemptions remove the property from the full value determination, optional exemptions remain part of the full value determination. The latter affects the required local contribution, the amount required of a local government to assist with the state's obligation to fund education. Optional exemptions diminish the tax base while requiring higher levels of taxation overall to maintain the contribution to education that's required by the state. Thank you.
Thank you, and I'm going to ask you to remain because I see we have a question from Senator Gray Jackson. I also have a question. Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for your testimony and for mentioning, once again, the state's liability to pay for this unfunded mandate. But did I hear you say that everybody doesn't benefit from the residential property tax exemption?
Through the chair, Senator Gray Jackson, I think that the point that I was trying to make and was had articulated is that the beneficiaries of those optional exemptions receive the benefit, but there's still the budgetary need of the local government, which increases may result in an increase to the overall property tax rate, which would apply to everybody.
May I follow up, Madam Chair?
Yes.
No, that's correct. But my point is there's a lot of folks within the municipality of Anchorage who don't even know about it, the exemption. And I, even though the state's not, you know, paying for this unfunded mandate, I try to educate folks so that everybody can share in the decrease in their taxes. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. And I have a question. You mentioned that speaking with your various members across the state, there wasn't consensus on a position to support or oppose. Would you please tell us, were there some municipalities that were not supportive and were concerned about the proposal?
Yes, Chair Hughes. I think it's important to recognize that the optional exemption is, first, it's optional, but it also increases the expectation at the local level that the local government would take advantage of that, which forces, I think, very challenging conversations at the local level as local governments then try to continue to meet the obligations that they have to the state, including for things like funding of public education. And it's a very, I think, careful balance that has to be struck at the local level, that statewide exemptions, even though they're optional, they increase, I think, this expectation at the local level. So there are some who, I think some local governments who would prefer the state leave it alone or leave it up to them to decide what those exemptions should look like in their community.
Thank you, and I appreciate your transparency on that. And the makeup of the communities can be so very different too. And I think one of the things I was just wondering, if with your membership, was there any conversation? And I think of certain committees during the 2-year COVID period with the various restrictions, businesses in some communities were hit pretty hard. Some had to close their doors or move their location, and that's one of the reasons why their assessed values perhaps went down, because there's open storefronts. And I'm just wondering, something like this that would shift, if there's a tax cap, would shift the tax burden due to the residential exemption to businesses, even though right now it might not be quite so bad because their values are under what they had been before. In a couple of years, they would go up. And of course, even now, if some of them are still reeling and trying to get back on their feet, it might be kind of a tough time when they know, oh, good, my values went down, so my property taxes will go down. But if this would kick in their taxes, as the sponsor of the bill said, in Anchorage, for instance, they'd stay the same. So I was just wondering, in your conversation, was there any concern about the need for jobs and for businesses in the area to get back on their feet, and this might not be a good time to shift an additional burden on them? Whereas we understand it's tough on the homeowners as well. But was there any discussion about that?
Chair Hughes, I think local governments definitely recognize the challenging circumstances that businesses and our economy is in as we bounce back from this pandemic and economic crisis. I think what members are concerned about or would be concerned about is unintended consequences of a well-intentioned effort to meet the needs of a residential property tax payers who might need it. And this, I don't know that this is a needs-based effort, but the fact that it does have potential kind of implications for the rest of the tax base certainly could be concerning under those circumstances.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other questions for Mr. Andreessen? Thank you very much. Is there anyone else in the room who'd like to testify on SB 172? Seeing no one else in the room, I will go online, and looks like we have a few people here. Kathy Jacoby from Fairbanks, would you please state your name and location, your affiliation, and proceed with your testimony?
My name is Kathy Jacoby. I live in Fairbanks, Alaska, and I'm just a single mom. I have no affiliation. And I was just approached to share my story. I lived in Fairbanks basically my whole life. I'm a single mom with two teenage daughters, and I live in an old house that was built in 1945. My siding's literally falling off, you know, but I have a government job, and I barely make enough to make ends meet with all of our high utility bills. And then I get my property assessment notice, and the percent change was 71%. It was just like a punch in the throat. And I haven't done anything to my house, so I don't understand where that came from. And, you know, everything's going up, and it's just every little bit that relief that I can get would be helpful.
Thank you for your testimony, Ms. Jacoby. Appreciate your taking the time this afternoon and calling in. Next, we will go to Rachel Lalke in Anchorage. Rachel, if you'd please state your name, affiliation, and the location from which you're calling.
Okay. Hi, I'm Rachel Lalke. I'm a realtor in Anchorage, and I'm calling in to support the property tax exemption. The current property tax exemption has helped many of my clients to afford a house. The exemptions also, I feel, help to reduce the housing crisis in Anchorage by making home ownership a more affordable option than rentals. It's also helped to keep our houses in better quality. A homeowner is a lot more likely to maintain their property, like fix broken windows, keep junk out of their yard, stuff like that. The exemptions haven't stopped people from building accessory dwelling units, as the exemption still applies to the homeowner of the house. I've also seen homeowners who wanted to buy into multifamily properties such as fourplexes or fiveplexes so that they would live there and then rent out the other units. And again, it's the same advantage. They're living there, so they're going to be much more likely to keep the property in better condition for their tenants. And that helps our higher density zoning districts too. And it's hard for anyone to compete with investors, because if you make over 50% of your income as so-called passive income, meaning all you're doing is collecting rent, your federal taxes are 10%, whereas other people can get as high as, 37%. So I definitely support this bill, and that's it.
Thank you, Rachel, for testifying this afternoon. Next, we'll go to Lee Haywood. Lee, if you would please identify, state your name and your affiliation and the location from which you're calling.
Hi, my name is Lee Haywood. I'm calling from Anchorage, Alaska. I have no affiliation. I'm in District L. I've been a resident here in Alaska for nearly 36 years, and I am in support of SB 72. My tax year, 2020, my assessment valuation was $336,000. It's been raised to $367,000 in 1 year. That's a $30,000 increase in total valuation. We haven't made any significant improvements to our home in nearly 15 years besides just basic maintenance. These increases in assessments are probably good news for those people looking to move from Alaska or sell their home, but for our sourdoughs and our, you know, us committed lifelong Alaskans, it's just added additional burdens to the stress we're already facing in these uncertain times right now. An increase in residential exemption is warranted if these assessments continually rise. I'm a disabled veteran, 35-year resident of Alaska who's experienced inflation on all fronts since this pandemic has been in full effect. So I fully support Senate Bill 172 to help provide some relief to those of us on fixed budget incomes. And as I understand it, the original increase in exemption was from 2004. So it looks like it's time to kind of adjust with inflation. I want to thank the authors and the sponsors of this bill who seem to be looking out for average Alaskans who are experiencing increases across the board. This will provide some much needed relief to us.
I appreciate your testimony, Mr. Hayward, and also appreciate your service on behalf of our country. Thank you. I am not seeing anyone else online, and we've covered everyone in the room. So at this time, I'm going to close public testimony. I want to mention to members that Sandra Muller is online for questions. She is the director with the Division of Community and Regional Affairs with the Department of Commerce. And I'm not seeing any members having questions for you, Sandra, but I do. And that is, and I'm just am not sure how this works and if it's consistent in the various municipalities, but what about an apartment complex? Would that apartment complex be eligible for this kind of exemption, or could the owner of the apartment complex actually be one of the people who picks up the slack if this exemption were to go through, and then possibly turn around and raise a rent to cover that extra bit in taxes? And Sandra, if you could please state your name and affiliation and the location from which you're calling.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, this is Sandra Moeller. I am the Director of the Division of Community and Regional Affairs in Anchorage. So thank you for the question. If I understand it, your question is whether apartment complexes would be qualified under this provision. And if that is the question, the answer is it somewhat depends on the jurisdiction. Different jurisdictions have different levels of property, but if it is a residential, categories, fourplexes and unders are residential typically, so they would be eligible. If you ask the part about whether a landlord would raise rents to offset the exemption, I wasn't quite clear on that part of your question. If you could repeat that, please.
Well, Sandra, and just so I heard you correctly, so the cutoff would be for if there are four units, but if it's larger than four units, then they wouldn't be eligible for the exemption. And then I'll answer your other question about the rent.
Sure, Madam Chair. The typically a residential property is a fourplex and under. And again, it really depends on the jurisdiction.
Okay, thank you. So my question was, let's suppose it's more than four. So in a jurisdiction that doesn't recognize more than four as residential. So that apartment owner would then would carry some of the burden of the shifted taxes and could indeed. So I wasn't really asking you that question. I'm just saying that could be an what I would think this sponsor might agree with me, an unintended impact, because those that are renting, we wouldn't want this to cause their rent to increase. So that would be a bit of a concern, and I'll let the sponsor respond to that at some point, but I just wanted members to kind of think about that could be the situation here. So does anyone have any other questions for Sandra, Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't have a question for Sandra, but I have a question on something you just said.
Sure.
So the residential exemption, because renters rent to increase, you would think it'd be the other way around.
Yeah, maybe I'm not explaining myself correctly.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
And I'll try. So the exemption would not apply to a large apartment building, and that apartment building owners' property taxes would go up on that apartment building. He or she then might pass it on by to cover it by raising the rent of the occupants, and that's my concern, that would be an unintended consequence here, possibly. So if there are no more questions from Sandra, I'll invite the sponsor to come up and maybe respond to some of this discussion. And then also, Senator Wilikowski, you did provide, I haven't had a chance to read your responses. So if there's anything you wanted to point out from there, you're also welcome to do that.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Bill Wilikowski, State Senator representing East Anchorage and J-Bear. And I'm joined by Nick Moe, who's on my staff. And open for questions, Madam Chair, however you'd like me to do that.
Well, first, if you'd like to respond to the discussion we just had about renters.
So this bill would apply. This is a residential property tax exemption. It would, my understanding of how it applies, and it sounded a little bit different than what I heard online, was if you live in a property, then you are entitled to the residential property tax exemption. If you are renting a property, if there's an apartment for rent, let's say it's a fourplex, for example, and you lived in one of the units, then you would be able to, my understanding again, you would be able to get a residential property tax exemption for that particular unit, but not for the other units. So there would not be a property tax exemption available for people who simply are investors who invest in properties and are renting those out and do not live in those. I hope I answered your question.
Well, you shed a little light on something differently, but let's suppose we have an apartment owner that it's got 20 units and his or her property tax goes up. Do you agree it's conceivable they might pass that increase in tax on to the renters?
I think people who own properties will charge as much as they can. And I think what we've, and I've certainly heard stories about this throughout Anchorage, throughout the country, property owners who have done no improvements to their homes, to their apartments, have charged their charged market rate. So even without any repairs or improvements or anything, they will charge as much as they can. Now, could it if the costs go up on a property, could they charge more? Sure, absolutely. Again, there's thousands of apartments that are available, and so there's market competition at play. But it is, in theory, yes, possible that people will charge more when their expenses go up.
Okay, thank you. Are there any questions of the sponsor? I have a question, and if you don't know the way to answer this, I might just I'm hoping he'd be okay with it. Well, I might address it to Sandra, so stay online, Sandra, and possibly Nils as well. And that is, right now, and we heard from the public testimony, there are people that it's going to be tough because they haven't made any improvements or anything on their home, and just because market conditions, the values have gone up, and so now they're going to have to pay more taxes if nothing is done. Does a municipality have any other way that they could relieve these people without an exemption? In other words, could they give a rebate or issue something like that if they chose? Because,
Madam Chair, I can't speak for all municipalities and how they might react. I'm sure there are a number of different things they can do. I'm sure that, and again, I think it's important also to remember that even though there are property appraisal increases, that does not necessarily mean there will be property tax increases. I think that's important to remember. It's dependent upon the mill rate that is set by the local assembly or local council, city councils. So I think that's number one. But could a community decide not to tax to a property tax cap, for example? Sure, they could do that. Could a community in theory decide they want to take money and send it out to property tax owners? Sure. I know in Anchorage several years ago they passed a bill to increase the gasoline tax and use that to offset property taxes. I think there are a lot of different things that local communities can do. And I can't speak to all those. I'm sure there's some very creative people out there who can think of a lot of different things. All I know is this is just attempting to give them one tool in the toolbox on how they might address the situation.
Thank you for your response. Ms. Muller, do you have any other additional ideas how a municipality might provide relief other than through an exemption like this?
Yeah, Madam Chair, Sandra Muller from DCRA again. Thank you. As the previous speaker mentioned, there are probably a number of different ways the municipality or city can give some relief to their residents. The often cited might be the reduction of actual expenses. So as mentioned, the rate, the taxes that are paid by the individual is the assessed value times the mill rate. So that's the equation to adjust if there's more exemptions and the municipality does not reduce expenses commensurately, then there will be a shift in the burden of taxes to other taxpayers. So again, I don't have each municipality has its own charter, and they're able to do things at the local level, so I couldn't give an update on what all the options might be. But the most common one is an exemption.
Thank you, Ms. Muller. And I'm just going to look to Niels to see if he has anything to add to that as far as any mechanisms. And he's nodding that he doesn't have anything to add to that. So are there any other comments or questions from committee members? And Senator Wilkowski, did you want to emphasize anything in your letter, you're answering questions that you just want to get on the record?
Thank you. I don't, I'm happy to answer specific questions, Madam Chair, if you like. I think that document is in the record, and I think there are some good questions. And if people have particular questions, I'd be happy to try to respond to those.
Okay. All right, thank you. Yeah, this document will go on the record, so if anyone's curious. Now, Senator Myers does have a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Not really a question. I just wanted to say thank you to Senator Wilkowski's office for providing some of these answers from our last meeting, and just wanted to point out the one. I did ask the question trying to split out the oil and gas property taxes from the rest of the property taxes and seeing where we stand in the nation, and I did note that while it does lower us from out of the second place, once we take away the oil and gas property taxes, we're still the 12th highest in the country. So we're still fairly high up there, and just wanted to highlight that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. All right. I'm not seeing any other hands up. And do you have any final comments?
I don't. I just want to thank the committee again for taking some time to look into this issue. And I've certainly heard many people who are concerned about this and appreciate the committee's looking into this. Thank you.
Yeah, I would agree with you. People are concerned about those assessments rolling in about this time of year. So I just want to state, as the chair, I appreciate you bringing this forward. There are a few areas I have a few questions out and just would like to consider it. So at this point, I'm going to set the bill aside and let the members know that our next meeting is tentatively scheduled for 3:30 on Thursday, but it's pending further information on the committees we currently have in committee. And so my office will communicate with you one way or the other to either confirm or cancel the meeting. Mr. Senator Wilson.
You mean the bills that you have in committees, not committees you have in committees?
Oh, yeah. Bills that I have in committee. Whatever. All right. So we will let your offices know by close of business tomorrow whether you're going to get Thursday at 3:30 off or not. So with that, I'm seeing no other business to come before the committee. We will adjourn and let the record reflect. The time is 4:07.